Leave him in the rental car.
Leave him in the rental car.
Fuck him. I'll drop this kid off in Calabasas. This ain't my boy. What happened here?
Look how they massacred my boy.
I'm Jewish. This kid looks like a fucking mushroom. His little haircut. Did you see his little Beatles haircut?
I was so already cute. Losing my hair.
He had glasses on. He was working.
Oh, that was like 2 months. I never wore them. I still need them, but I never wore them.
All right, start the podcast, please. Now I got to get your ophthalmology fucking record. No, listen, I'm an eye doctor. Now just start the fucking thing, please. Here we go.
Okay. This show is brought to you by Headspace.
Tremendous.
The Headspace Take 10 program is a 100% free way to experience the benefits of meditation in your busy modern life. Download the free Headspace app and begin their Take 10 program for 10 days of guided meditation at headspace.com/Joey. Show is also brought to you by... Steve, you have no idea how much anxiety this song gives me. Hold on to this part. Oh, thank God I pressed record.
This show is also brought to you by Onnit.
No, okay, Onnit.com. Use code word church to get 10% off all their great optimization products like Alpha Brain and New Mood. And go to hitesix.com. Better tasting, longer lasting. Use code word Joey's church to get 5 for $50.
That's a good deal.
Oh shit. Monday, January 11th. This is it, cocksuckers. The church of what's happening now, bitches. Making it happen. Fucked up to the gills. It's a new year, bitches. Wake the fuck up. What? What? Huh? The Jew National Anthem right here. Money, money, money. Fuck it. When you're like 13, they lock you in a room, they put a bag over your head, and they turn the light off, and they put this on replay like a motherfucker for 12 hours. You leave there like a savage. They don't even feed you. They put black shoes on you. Oh, shit. What? Jingle those shoulders, please, Sam. We got no shoulders. Look at you with your winter jacket on. All right. Everybody. What's happening, you bad motherfuckers? Sorry about the inconvenience. There was something wrong with one of the fucking cords. Then YouTube gave us a fucking hard time. We paid the bill, bitch. Anyway, Steve Simone, the motherfucking house. My main man, the ambassador of the Jewish people. Lee Boom Boom Sayat. Look at him. With a winter jacket on, living in fucking Jewish California. It's 70 degrees out.
Well, you have the
this
AC on here.
This is what I'm trying to tell you people, that I got to toughen this fucking kid up. What AC? I can have a fucking igloo in this motherfucker that don't call for you getting a jacket on. Take the jacket off. You're making me nervous. Like you're waiting for us to get hit and you're going to run out the back door or some shit. You know something? I don't know. What's happening, beautiful people? Your Uncle Joey here. Hope you had a great weekend. The church is back in full effect. My main man over here, Steve DeSimone, family. Been together a long fucking time. Guest tonight.
Thank you for having me.
You know, it's so weird that we all do different things in different ways. And lately, the more and more I talk to the man with the jacket on, it's amazing how much different how you keep your soul clean. Like, you're really like one of the guys that you don't drink no more. You never really
ever once drinking, in a while.
But when you did drink, you fucking get this look in your eye like the Indian was making a comeback. You'd start hugging people, kissing you like Henry Hill. And you found different outlets, and it's so weird how, as you get older, you go, you know what? That's not worth it. That's not worth it no more. Lee and I were having a discussion about how we watched the 7-5, and the guy asked for a $24,000 deposit to talk to the drug dealer just to make sure he was right.
Wow!
If he's making $3 million a month, $24,000 is what he blink spends at the bodega on fucking what's those sticks. That we eat as a kid, not bad. Slim Jim.
Slim Jim.
You ever got a fresh Slim Jim when you're high? It's like hitting the fucking jackpot.
So
it's
delicious.
Better than 900 million. Sometimes you got a stale Slim Jim, that shit will fucking set you back. Like
yeah, you won't even want it.
But a good Slim Jim, and you go you back and get a can of the dried ginger ale.
It's the little things.
What's up? What happened? What are we talking about?
You were talking about the drug dealer. 24,000.
24,000. It's so weird how he did it just to make sure everything was fine. Sometimes I used to work for a car dealer. Mm-hmm. And everybody said that when you work for this guy, you got a lot stronger. He taught you to do things. It was amazing how for years I had worked with these guys and they had great results. But my life changed when I started working for this little Jewish guy named Artie Pressler.
That's great.
He was a 6'4" fucking mound of a Jewish guy that he sold coke part time.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have a lot of salesmen, but everybody who went to work for him said, bro, when I came here, I was struggling to sell 6 cars. Now I sell 15.
Wow.
Because he was debt, because he was a Jew. And he was an old school Jew. In the car business, you come in, I drive you, we get back. You know, he would always go, make the guy fall in love with you. He was a Jew from fucking, like, Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say, make the guy fall. And he was always very bland. That's where he won. His face never changed. There was a little bit of smile. He was like Clint Eastwood and Dirty Harry. From time to time, he would smile, but it really wasn't a smile.
Gotcha.
But the one thing he taught me that went with me forever was go out there, tell him the number, and then get a deposit. And for 2 or 3 weeks, I wouldn't get a deposit, dog. And he'd go, you didn't get me a deposit? No. Yo, come here. Go in there, get me a fucking deposit. You just lost a half a deal. Next time you get a deposit. Wow. Every time I came out and said, this guy said he'll pay $18,000 right now with a deposit. I didn't have to get a deposit. He made me an offer. Hold on. Available salesman to the desk. I fucking want to shoot this motherfucker. But it was a valuable lesson. It cost me $3,000 to $4,000.
He made his point.
He made his fucking point, and I'd go in there and get a deposit. And he'd tell you to get the deposit from the guy because that would show you. He would break it down on paper, too. He was that type of Jew. Listen, the car is 23 fucking thousand, okay? I need 10%, which is 2,300. Give me $5,000 check right now so I go back to my manager and get you this car deal. And he won't stop there. Let me get your watch.
Wow.
Let me get your shoe.
And the reason being that way they know you're serious.
Because I know you're serious. You know, like that's what that lesson always taught me, that you're fucking serious. You know, sometimes you ever take a gig and don't ask for a deposit?
Yeah.
And you get off the phone and you're like,
yep.
And all of a sudden you get down and there's no hotel room. You're going to stay at the sister's house.
Absolutely. That happened to me and Lee.
You're going to stay at the cousin's house. The guy's going to drive. You know what?
Best
here
intentions,
it is.
But they shouldn't be in
business. Yeah, you know what? I need a 500 deposit plus. I need this. I need a ride to here. I need 2 hotel rooms. They don't have to be fucking the Denny's,
right.
But they got to be fucking, I don't want no blood stains.
Right, right.
I don't want no fucking blood stains, you know? But you always got to ask for a deposit to know people are real. And that guy used to want, once I got good at it, now he's like, I'm teaching you something else now. I'm going to teach you how to blow people's wigs off and bring them back. Because on the comeback, they're going to give you what you want. That's a great lesson. So, Lee, how much is your car worth? I blue booked it for 22, and I booked it out at 47. Yo, Simone, come in there. Go in there and ask the guy for $7,000 for the fucking car. But, boss, it says $59.99 on the window.
Yeah.
Go in there and ask him for $7,000. Hold on 1 second. Lot boy, come over here. Come in. Scratch that number off the fucking window. Go in there and get him for $7,000. And this guy would come back with 67 plus taxes plus dealer handling. And I drool all over myself. The guy set himself up. $7,000? I'll never pay $7,000. The most I'll give you is $6,200. Now you got him.
Yeah.
You got him at $6,200. You got a profit. You got a $1,600 deal. Write a check. Give me a check for the amount right now. Let me get the credit app. Yeah, but I just made an offer. We don't even know. Let's get a 5-liner. And he would tell you to always write it down. That's control.
Gotcha.
When you wrote it down. Never give somebody a credit app and let them fill it out. He'd always tell you these things.
They don't let you do it. I just went through the process of getting a car. They don't let you do any of that.
No. See, that's all wrong. That's all fucking wrong. That's the control prospect. You know, we've discussed it 1,000 times on the show that the microphone on stage is a control thing. Half of us don't need a microphone. But the microphone lets the audience know that you have the room, that you have control.
It's amazing.
It's the little fucking things like that that cut a deal in half. Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin had a fucking manager. When they were on top, once they got to 71, 72, and they had outlived the Beatles and they were fucking selling, the manager from the fucking thing would go, Lisa Ayette, how you doing? Yeah, Billy Bong. Yeah, great to meet you. Oh, my God, last time we saw you, we partied out. Those three hookers sucked our dick and lit them on fire. Yes, indeed, they did. Listen, Led Zeppelin's doing a major tour. Really, great to hear that. Yet they're doing a major league fucking tour, and we want to do three nights at your fucking club. What does your theater sit? We're sitting 18.5, but between you and I, the fire department doesn't have to know. We really could do 19,000, you know, 1,000, 9,000. We could do 1,900 seats. Okay, 1,900 seats. All right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do 1,900 seats at 1,900 apiece. You know, like that's what Led Zeppelin, the guy, would do. Mm-hmm. So he'd do 1,900 times $12.50 a ticket. Equal $23,000 times three. Fuck. $23,000 times three is $69,000, $70,000. Okay. What do I need to do the three nights? Standard deposit, $30,000. Guy from Led Zeppelin go, no. I want the whole fucking amount. But wait a second. We haven't even sold the ticket. It's not my fucking problem.
Yeah.
You want Led Zeppelin. You pay the whole envelope in front before I even give you the fucking dates.
Wow.
He didn't give you a breather, this motherfucker. It was never done before, but it made them even more powerful. He never let them do a live TV performance. He didn't want them to be like everybody else.
Why can't they do live TV?
He didn't want them to.
They didn't need
Why do the Ed Sullivan show? Why do the Tonight Show? Then Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, they didn't.
They stand it for something else. It was a whole psychological fuck note to your fucking mind. You know what I'm saying? After a whole lot of love, they demanded what they demanded. After a whole lot of love, it was over. People were sucking dick and squirting sperm on their face and lighting themselves on fire. Listen to a whole lot of love. It was a fucking, it was an anthem.
Yeah.
It was 1972, whatever, 71, 73. The war was over. You know, a whole lot of fucking love was an anthem. They did what they wanted to. Can you imagine it? You can't do that to a comedy club today. Call up a comedy club and go, hey, Steve Simone's coming to town. You see 200 people, correct? Yeah, we're going to do five shows, 1,000 to 20.
Yeah.
That's 20 fucking thousand. Do me a favor, cut me a check and overnight it to me right now. What are you talking about? What are you, well, listen, I'm telling you right now he's going to sell out.
Yeah.
So I'm keeping the fucking door and you're keeping the bar, that overpriced fucking vodka you're selling.
Well, aren't there some comedians who could do that?
Absolutely, but it would be, you know, you get your standard deposit, 10, 20%. Kevin Hart, you got to give him the fucking moon, the stars.
I'm sure.
You know, Amy Schumer, Louis C.K., Gabriel Iglesias, they demand what they demand standard. But see, when they do those theaters, you pay for those theaters. Those theaters don't become a comedy club. Let me tell you something. Those theaters rob you. Those theaters, that's why a lot of times those theaters, comics want to do 3 hours. You don't see Chappelle doing no 22-hour show at a theater, do you?
Yeah.
You never seen Chappelle do 4 hours at a fucking theater? Because after an hour and a half, that's union cost. You got eight motherfucking Teamsters on the clock, and you got to pay them at $36 an hour, dime times two. So while you're cracking jokes up there, you got to sell a million tickets to pay that fucking nut. They'll tell you. You got to get off by 11 o'clock. After 11 o'clock, you pay a fucking vig.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, I'd go see concerts at the Garden, and they went over. I didn't know that now. You know, like now I think about the people who didn't do an encore and you left pissed off. They suck. They didn't do an encore. Now I know, yeah, because it cost them $1,000. Fuck you. Fuck your encore.
Yeah.
Once I go into hibernate. I'm like the fucking February thing. That rat that comes, yeah, I'm like the groundhog.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, so it's you know, it's different. All that stuff is just mental salesmanship. They beat you with their mind before you even, that's mental salesmanship. You know, it's a setup to the sale.
Yep.
You know, and you learn a lot of that, and now we're bumping into it in our daily lives. We were discussing so many, well, I bump into it, and it doesn't. We were talking about when I did the sports betting thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You call a guy. Every Sunday, you go into the office and go, Steve, I need more leads. Lead gives you a stack of leads that the other company on the other side of the room had already called. Remember, we discussed this. There's one big company, but there's two other companies the room's divided into. So the first company is All Star Sports. That's our big company. That's who everybody's with, All Star Sports. But half the room is with fucking professional pimps.
Right.
And the other room is with all day players, sports service. And all we do is the lead goes through All Star Sports, then they go to day player, and now they come to you. Because you're the low man on the totem pole. You got to wake these motherfuckers up after two people that we know already take them to the cleaner. On this sheet, you already have their Visa card with their expiration date and everything. You know everything about them. You call these motherfuckers up and go, hey, Lee Syed, how you doing? Fucking Pete the Heat. Everything all right? Who the fuck are you? Pete, listen, I'm here. Who am I? Then you become Joe Pay. Who am I?
Yeah.
Who am I? Let me tell you who I am. Last night, I made $200,000. Go fuck your mother. You're a thief. And they hang up on you. Now, you got to call them back. Hey, Pete, listen, let me just talk to you. Go fuck yourself. Don't call here no more. Then you give it 15 minutes, and you call them back again. And the wife answers. Hello, who's this? It's Pete the Heat. Tell him to pick up the phone. No, listen, my husband doesn't want to talk to you anymore. He stopped gambling. And they hang up on you. You know what? And then you call again like at 2 in the morning and you leave. This is when you get home. This is where the psychological fuck comes in. You get home at like 11. I used to snort coke and take like 10 numbers home with me and all coked up. I just dialed the number from a payphone. And they'd be like, who's this? Or they wouldn't answer and they'd go on the machine. Hey, Steve, Pete the Heat, do me a favor. Tomorrow I got a lock that'll fucking make your wife's pussy ass curl up. Call me at 1-800-SPORTS. That's it. You left the number. Guess what? If you're a degenerate gambler, you're going to write that number down.
Yeah.
That's like that dealer. Somebody comes up and goes, I sell coke. Really? Let me get your phone number. You don't need him right now, but you're going to need him.
Yeah.
You keep his card because you don't need him right now, but you're going to need him.
Just preying on people's weaknesses.
How do you learn how to do this? Like when I worked for companies, they had training sessions. Like, how do they teach you to torment these people? Or was this just like,
because
you just know how to
remember,
do it.
When you're a salesman, you got to remember that people don't run on a straight line. People run like this. Your job is to catch them here. Sometimes we catch them down here, and it's an uphill battle. Come on down and buy a car. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know, do this. But something, all the stars come together, bam, they got their dick sucked, they got a raise. They got a bonus. They won a lottery ticket for $69.
Right.
I'm going to go buy a car. I'm feeling lucky. Bam! I just caught you. You went to your grandmother's for a dinner. She gave you $50. That's your lucky 50. You're betting the Boston Celtics tonight. Bling! Who's this? Nikki the Pete. Pete, why you keep bothering me for? You know I don't gamble no more. Cut it out. Cut it out. Listen, what do you got in the Celtic game tonight? And they break.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? What do you got in the Celtic game tonight? What do you got in the Celtic game tonight? Well, I like the Celtics. Bam, you got him. Took you 3 weeks for this motherfucker to break down, but you got him.
Him saying, I like the Celtics.
Bam, it's over. You know what? We like the Celtics, too. But let me tell you something. The total is coming in even stronger. What are you talking about? See, you like the Celtics. But the real money tonight is a parlay. What are you going to do? You're going to bet a yardstick on the fucking Celtics? Whoop-de-doo. What are you going to pick up? 110? What are you down? 10,000? I'm not down. I'm not down. How do you know I'm down? I didn't say you were down.
The insecurity, there it is.
That's it. Boom. They're talking, Lee Syed. You got them. The truth serum. So what are you talking about? Listen, I got a way for you to make $2,500 tonight. What are you talking about? I don't gamble no more. Listen, I'm going to hang up. Stop talking to me this way.
But they're still on the phone.
Oh, they're still on the fucking phone. Listen, do me a favor. I got a total that's going to – what do you usually bet a game? Well, I've been doing 200. You're a liar. You bet 500. You're lying. You don't tell them that. Yeah. You got to assume they're betting five. And that's when you bang them out. You got to do math quick on your toes. All right, listen. You're going to bet the Celtics for five. I'm going to give you a total. You're going to bet them for five. And then you're going to bet 500 on the total, on the parlay, okay? You're going to walk out of here 2250 tonight just alone. Now, I got a call coming in from a Jew in Michigan. This guy talks to every football fucking ref he knows, and he's got something coming in on Saturday. So do me a favor. This is how this rolls. Throw me two deuces. I usually go for 350. Put 200 in Western Union. Pay me the 150 tomorrow after you pick up the 2250. You sure it's going to come in? It's going to come in. Can you give me a hint? There ain't no hints in my world. But if I don't get that guy, after about 3 weeks, a lot of guys just throw him away.
Yeah.
What throw him away is they give him a free game. And they take it from there. And I was telling Lee that it's the same thing when you give somebody a service for free. It never pans out. Like, one thing I learned from the car business is the people that you sold the car to and you made $185 are the people that are going to come in every 90 days and torment your fucking life.
Yeah, it's not worth
The windshield don't work. Excuse me, the heater. Can I get a ride to see Caucus? What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
The people that you fucking feel bad when they sign the paperwork, like you're saying prayers.
Yeah.
Like, God, please don't hit me in the head with a lightning bolt because you just made $8,000 on a lease.
Yeah.
Those are the people that bring their fucking mother back and their cousins and everybody buys a car from you.
Yeah.
It's really weird how the psychology.
I hate how the world works.
How the psychology of that whole thing is. The airlines got that. They just rip you off. They don't give a fuck. American Airlines will put a fucking gun to your head.
They're the worst.
So half of these motherfuckers, they put a gun to your head.
What about health insurance? What about health insurance? I just paid my first month for this year. It went up $50 after last year.
How much for your health insurance?
$350 a month.
Did you tell me you lost weight? That you get your little dick sucked once a week?
Yeah, it's just you're lightened up a little bit.
You're taking hard aspirins. You're breathing some air. You're looking good. Look at you. Your head's shiny. You used to walk in here all pale like some fucking mukyak. Look at you now.
I'm still pretty pale.
No, you're not. Well, your legs are like mine. My legs look like fucking bone. You look at your legs after like the winter time here. They're like bone. And you're too embarrassed to put. You're like, fuck it. I can't wear my shorts now. People are going to be embarrassed. So you got to wait for like a sunny day and sit in the yard with suntan lotion.
Catch up a little bit.
Like a fucking Rican. You got to sit there. What are you doing? I'm putting suntanning my calves.
Well, I'm pissed that I never used a pool at my old place. You have a pool and you use
gotta
it.
Gotta use it,
You have to use it. It's awesome.
It's an insult to God. If you're blessed with something not to use it, you gotta use
this
it.
This pool up by my house is just a bit on the weak cold side. Mm. And they got no that YMCA is like a fucking Polish YMCA. They got no towels. They got no blow dryers. You go to fucking Hollywood, they got everything. Q-tips. You could be homeless and live at the YMCA in Hollywood.
Yep.
You could be homeless and at least go in there, work out. Sign up for a program and take a shower. They got towels. They got shampoo. They got fucking Q-tips. They got a blow dryer. They don't have gel. They got shavers.
That's
they got
nice.
Those shavers that fucking pull the first layer of epidermis off your thing. But at least you're fucking shaving. The first time I went to North Hollywood, I went for a fucking thing. The only thing in Hollywood that sucks about that YMCA is that when you open the door to go from the fucking pool to the sauna, the shower, and the locker room, you've never experienced that cold weather. It's a fucking the end. I'm very sorry. It's the end of a tube. So you get out of the pool, you open the door, and you walk this way. It's very simple. But there's a walkway in there that's connected to outside. So in the morning at 6, here you are in the sauna, and then you go in the steam bath, then you take a shower, then you go back in the sauna for a couple minutes just to get nice and ripe, and you make a run for that fucking door, and you jump right in that heated pool, it's paradise. It's fucking paradise. But that 10-foot walk is one of the worst fucking walks I've ever had in my life. They should incorporate that walk when they kill you. Like when they kill you, just to let you know what you're fucking about to encounter here. What, Lee? Why are you making faces for, cocksucker?
Who, ISIS? Or like, who do you want to have do that?
Why must there always be a particular with you? Can it not just be generalities?
No.
Let's say somebody was going to the chair. Anyone. I'm just saying. Let's say somebody was going to the fucking chair.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That'd be the last walkway. That's how fucking brutal it is.
You don't want it to be this? You don't want it to be this?
Look at this.
No, not that one.
Yeah. That's the beginning of the Twilight Zone in the old days.
Yep.
Like in the fucking really, really old days. That's what it started with. That's why you were freaked the fuck out. And there'd be little circles going around and around. When you see those circles going around and around, that's Satan's work.
Ugh, I don't like any of that stuff.
What's up there, my brother?
Nothing. I was thinking about what you were saying about that going from the hot to the cold. The Russians at the Hollywood gym I used to work at, they used to do that on purpose to get a high. They'd go from the sauna, blazing hot. And then they jump in the freezing cold
shower.
That was
the fucking sauna at the Hollywood gym?
Yeah.
The Hollywood gym was straight up gangsters. That was three floors of gangsterisms. But you know what? The boxing program up there?
Great.
Matt Damon was there. Denzel Washington was there. Yep. He had four Academy Award winners. Nicolas Cage and somebody else. He had four, that dude. Then they got into a fight with him, and he took his action somewhere else, whatever his
name was. It was a great gym.
He was in the boxing movie with Denzel. Didn't Denzel do a boxing movie, guys?
He did The Hurricane.
Yeah, he did. He was one of the black fighters in The Hurricane.
I used to see Denzel there all the time. What a nice guy. Legitimately nice person.
Watched the Golden Globes last night.
Not me.
I got to tell you something. And this is my opinion. People are not going to like this opinion. Ricky Gervais is one of the funniest fucking people I have ever seen in my life. Listen, even if somebody wrote those jokes for him, which I doubt, because he says them with such confidence and such, what's the word I'm looking for? You have to be a comic to hear it.
Ownership.
You have to go somewhere else and hear it. When my wife put it on, I was in the kitchen. And that's when he was going into the thing that, guys, it's not going to be that type of show. This kid's watching. I've changed. Not Kylie Jenner.
That's
changed,
funny.
But I've changed. And he went off on that. He just went off on a lot of little things that were really funny. And you could tell it irks the people.
Yeah.
He hits hard.
Oh, I remember the last time everybody
went nuts. He doesn't curse. He cursed like two or three times. You could tell he's tanked.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Having a good time.
I watched the last. I like all that shit. I was telling Lee, I never, ever, ever got so fucking aggravated. What do you got? You got it on?
I have the opening if you want to watch it.
Let's watch the opening. Look how fucking funny this motherfucker was. He was a badass last night.
He's funny.
So you going to Denver with Ari?
I think so. I didn't know I was doing it, but I think I'm doing Denver with Ren Azizi and Ari. Get 2 weeks there. I love it there.
Shush. Shut up. You disgusting, pill-popping, sexual deviant scum. I want to do this monologue and then go into hiding. Okay? Not even Sean Penn will find me. Snitch. Hello and welcome to the 73rd annual Golden Globe Awards, live from the Beverly Hilton Hotel.
He's Daniel Tosh times 10. He's that fucking good.
With all these rich, beautiful celebrities having the time of their lives. Let's hope no one spoils that. Yeah. So I'm going to try and be nice. You're global megastars with amazing talent, most of you. A few of you just married well. You know who you are. We all do.
We're
live on NBC, and it's right that NBC hosts this award show because they're the only network who are truly fair and impartial. And that's because they're the only network with zero nominations. So nothing in it for them tonight. They don't care who... They don't care, obviously. But as I say, I'm going to be nice tonight. I've changed. Not as much as Bruce Jenner, obviously. Now Caitlyn Jenner, of course. What a year she's had. She became a role model for trans people everywhere, showing great bravery in breaking down barriers and destroying stereotypes. She didn't do a lot for women drivers, but... You can't have everything, can you? Not at the same time. Anyway, so I am going to be nice tonight, and I'll tell you why. The president of the Hollywood Foreign Press just told me that if I say anything offensive or crass or resort to innuendo, he is going to come out here and personally pull me off. So that's an offer I couldn't refuse. Yes, that is the level. An old man pulling me off. Again, at least Jeffrey Tambor did it in a dress. What an actor, what a role.
Look at this fucking guy. He didn't know what to do. At first, Jeffrey Tambor.
Every day,
he's just locked up,
though. The women's clothes and the hair and makeup and let people film it. That takes balls. So, I don't know how he does it. I really don't. I've seen his balls, they're huge and long. I don't know if he tucks them in the bra or does that thing when you push them out the back and let them hang out. Like a bulldog? No one knows.
No one knows.
I don't know if that's because he's such a great actor or because he reminds me of my nan. One Hollywood publication said that me hosting would mean that some film stars would stay away for fear of being made fun of. As if film stars would stay away from the chance of winning a Golden Globe, particularly if their film company has already paid for it.
I'm telling you, this is fucking gold,
he's
man.
Great.
So what's happened this last year in this crazy business we called show? The excellent Spotlight has been nominated. Yeah. The Catholic Church are furious about the film as it exposes the fact that 5% of all their priests have repeatedly molested children and been allowed to continue to work without punishment. Roman Polanski called it the best date movie ever.
Oh my God.
Look at his face.
That's comedy,
Jennifer
ladies
Lawrence
and gentlemen.
The news when she demanded equal pay for women in Hollywood, and she received, yeah, overwhelming support from people everywhere. There were marches on the street with nurses and factory workers saying, how the hell can a 25-year-old live on 52 million? This is... There were plumbers around the world going, poor girl in town, what's fucking hell? So, but joking aside, of course women should be paid the same as men for doing the same job. And I'd like to say now that I'm getting paid exactly the same as Tina and Amy did last year for hosting it. Now, I know there was two of them, but it's not my fault if they want to share the money, is it? That's their stupid fault. It's funny because it's true. The Hollywood Foreign Press deemed The Martian a comedy and even nominated it. And hence, Matt Damon is here tonight. So that worked a treat, didn't it? To be fair, The Martian was a lot funnier than Pixels. But then again, so was Schindler's List. Just a film.
And that's just a room full of juice.
All female remakes are the big thing. There's a female remake of Ghostbusters. There's going to be a female remake of Ocean's 11. And this is brilliant for the studios because they get guaranteed box office results. And they don't have to spend too much money on the cast. So... Shut up, I don't care. Listen, if you do win tonight, remember that no one cares about that
That's
award
it.
As much
it.
As you
this
do.
Is fucking crazy. Okay? But no, it's true. He's got great timing. He says the toughest shit in a room full of the toughest people with the best fucking conviction that I've seen. You know, we're at the Comedy Store. We see people with great conviction.
Yep.
This guy's great. He's fucking great. Do people listen to his podcast? Anybody listen to his podcast?
No, I haven't.
It's not like number one. I thought it'd be like fucking hilarious. And I know that at times he gets on people's nerves. He says shit.
I think he charges for it, doesn't he?
That's brilliant shit right there to me. That's brilliant shit.
In a room full of stiffs, too. He's hitting them hard.
Guys, you know, you see people doing stand-up specials and everybody's laughing, you know. You have no idea what it is to do one of your best jokes and people stare at you. And you keep going and they stare at you and they don't get it. I went to the fucking club outside of Chicago. It's not the Chicago Improv. It's the
Schaumburg.
Schaumburg Improv is like the House of fucking Horrors. Like, that's where you go, and they turn the fucking place into the House of Horrors on Halloween. And
play
you go,
the music.
No more fucking. It is the House of Horrors. Like, they were so uptight.
Yeah.
But they weren't uptight for just Ari and me. They were even uptight for Rogan. When Exodus came on by, what's the black dude? You know, Movement for the People.
Oh, Bob Marley?
Bob Marley. They were stiff. I had never seen anything like that in my life. The other day, my wife was saying to me, what type of comedy clubs do you like performing at? Mm-hmm. And I told her this. I said, listen, I like the club where the guy who owns a place or runs a place makes you feel just a tad special.
Yeah.
What people at home are like, Joey, what do you mean by that? Does he have to get you a limousine? No. There's some clubs that you work and you don't even see the guy all weekend.
Yeah.
You know what that's like? That's like you flying into somewhere and the guy that fucking, you know, your uncle doesn't show up all weekend or something.
Yeah, it hurts your feelings.
It hurts your feelings. Yeah. You know, I work at so many great clubs where you feel connected to them when you go there.
It's like visiting family. It's great. Yeah, it's like great.
Visiting family.
Yeah, I love it.
And then there's clubs that you go and it's basically a paycheck. And you know what? A guy like me doesn't even want a paycheck like that. I want to go somewhere where it's going to – if I got a fucking pack and dread going to your fucking club all weekend, then it's not worth it. It's not fucking worth it. No, it's not worth it. You know, if I don't like nothing about your club now, I just don't go there, you know? It's my wife goes, I don't understand. Now, do a lot of the club owners hang out? When you go to Governor's on Long Island, Mark's there.
That's cool.
Mark's there. He's always there unless the baby's being born or something acceptable. You know, when you go to Jersey, Vinnie Brand is there.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to some improvs, you don't see the owners, but the managers are so dynamite.
Yes.
You know, West Palm Beach and Fort Lauderdale,
yeah, great
the couple,
managers.
The guy and the wife, Melissa, fucking great management team. You know, when I was when I first started in comedy, it used to be the people at the Comedy Cabana in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Christine and her husband, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember one time eating peppers with Jeff in the back room, and he goes, my father's one of the top heart doctors in the country, and if you ask any heart doctor, they won't tell you. This is the best food you could eat.
Hot peppers?
Raw peppers, any of those green peppers and yellow peppers and red peppers, bell peppers.
Yeah.
He goes, this is the best thing you could eat for your fucking heart. I was blown away. I always ate peppers after that. The yellow peppers, they're rich in something.
That's great.
They're really rich in something that people don't talk about. It's like those things that doctors don't want you to know because – you know, shit like that. But then you work at places where you're just fucking uncomfortable. I used to work this club, guys, in Saginaw, Michigan, in Traverse City.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was older than death. He was a fucking monger. Okay, listen to me. 22 years in comedy, nobody's ever made me pay for a hotel, and they pay you for the hotel on Saturday night. This is how cheap this guy was. He wouldn't even pay for your hotel. You had to check in, pay for yourself, and then he would give you, if the room was $58.23 a night, he would give you $58.23 a night. Instead of just giving you $120 or something and giving you $5 for cab, you have no idea. The guy was just a fucking dickhead. And he did it as a write-off or something. He was like I heard the story from the waitress. Me and one of the waitresses became great friends. She was just she had weed and she had kids and she had a husband. And
The entire club was a write-off?
It wasn't a club, guys. It was a fucking theater that sat like maybe 180 people. It was no dough, guys. I did it for the sake of comedy and to be out there. It was the type of weeks that were price leaders, I used to call them. You just break even.
Just to be in the business.
You break even because it's not worth me paying $800 to make $600 at your club. So what I need to do is book 3 weeks to make it worth it. So if you give me another six, that's 12. And if I could put together a string of one-nighters at $200 a piece and do five of them, that's 1,000. So I made $2,200, but the plane ticket was six. It was worth it. You follow me? The plane ticket was $8, whatever the fuck I said. So you have to figure out those days on your own. So even if you're making money on the weekend, once Sunday comes, it's a river dirty, Steve Simone, and here you are in Saginaw, Michigan. So you got to get like, I know there was no fucking hotel.com then or Bing that you could blog on for the cheapest hotel room. No, you had a fucking call and find out what was going on and what are the weekly deals and what can you do for me Monday to, you know, on the off days and shit? It was rough, so that's what you had to do. You had to put a shitty week in there. Sometimes it's better than not doing it. I'd rather make $400 as a feature for six shows than not doing anything at all. Than not to be working. I'm already out here anyway. It's 4 hours from where I'm at. It's a $22 bus pass
Yep.
I don't start till Wednesday. It's Sunday. He just gave me the week on Monday.
Yep.
In those days, Lee's, I used to get up on Monday morning and call Yoder. And go, Mr. Yoder, I'm in fucking Buffalo, New York, and I have next week off. Can you find me something? He goes, no, 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 call me back at 4 o'clock. This guy always found you something.
Mm.
3 hours from where you were at.
Wow.
And you took a bus. You know, you didn't have to be there till Wednesday. This was when comedy started on Wednesday, and it was like a bar. The guy that does the radio in Buffalo now owned the bar in North Tonawanda. And that was one of the first clubs Yoda put me in. If I tell you what they paid me, guys, it was embarrassing. But I love going to Buffalo so much and doing comedy that I did it.
Good people.
The condo was shit. The fucking club was kind of weird. But the food, for 2-3 days, I ate like a fucking bandit.
That's great.
It was a fun city. Every time I went to Buffalo, I saw a good fist fight. When you're a feature act and somebody's headlining, you're starting to kick ass and they're scumbags, you get entertained. You really learn how to become a comic. You know, I know a lot of young comics that come around here and I talk to them and I go, you don't go on the road? And is it necessary to really go on the road? I'm not saying that you need to get it, but it builds you chops. And when you go out as a feature in those days, I used to put this all together on my own. There was nobody. I would leave for 6 weeks at a time, leave 10 weeks. You know me. We've had 1,000 discussions. Do I look like I like leaving for 10 weeks? But I knew I had to do it to become a really good comic. I knew I had to do it. And it wasn't as much as getting on stage. It was the experiences that I endured, those buses. I used to take a bus everywhere, Lee. They were $39. I would get on a fucking great. Ralphie May and John Westling used to laugh at me. Because they would drive me to that L.A. bus station downtown, that creepy fucking feature act down there.
Union Station?
That's a scary fucking place, Jack.
Yeah.
And I would take that 11 o'clock bus to El Paso with a bag of coke on me, doing bumps the whole way like Santa Claus with the fucking reindeer. Are you kidding me or what?
God.
But I knew I was paying the price for something I believed in. And at that time, I had come back and... Margaret Cho, Tom
Rhodes,
and Greg Giraldo had been on and off TV as quick as can fucking be. You know, they forced them on too early. The writers didn't work with them. They didn't know how to connect their material to the TV show, and the shows failed. At that time, the success of Tim Allen and Roseanne, the networks were really looking for next comedians. And I remember that... watching Tom Rhodes at the Improv one night when I first got here in 97. And the show had just been canceled. He looked a little depressed. But he was going up on stage.
Yeah.
And that meant a lot to me. I was like, if that happened to me, I'd pack my bags and go home like a pussy that I am. And all of a sudden, I learned something from a guy that failed. Like, he didn't fail. His show failed.
Right.
But he went back to stand-up. And I notice now the people that over the years that I've been friends with, that they got away from stand-up or whatever stupid excuse, and now the direction they didn't want to go to isn't going that way, so they're trying to get back into stand-up. And one thing I'm really happy about is that I always stuck it out with stand-up, no matter how bad. Like, I mean, you were on the set the longest yard with me. There was days where you used to look at me and go, you know, who would go to work after that? Who would get on stage after that? I would get on stage on the weekends. I would fucking do it, man. You know, you see that shit around you. That shit gets to your head sometimes. You're like, I just did a movie with Burt Reynolds. Why the fuck would I get on stage anymore? I always knew it was going to help me the more I got on stage. And it did. It did. And I see guys that got on TV shows, didn't fucking work the program, and now the TV show's off the air. Nobody's going to see you. And now it's a different fucking game.
Do you think you could make a living as an actor? Like, let's say, I don't know, like, there was no comedy for some reason.
Lee, I talk to a lot of fucking people in the city right now. And I talk to a lot of actors. I just saw, what's the Denzel movie, American Gangster. It was on two times this last weekend. Once on AMC.
I enjoyed that movie.
Me too. And one of the guys that played a cop with the cops, when they go to the house and raid, and he says, hey, nice dog. And the guy comes over and picks up the thing, pick up the house, and he shoots the dog, and the money's under the thing. That guy, I did 2.5 men with him. We did 4 days a week before Christmas for one fucking scene at the end. But I always used to see him at auditions, and he'd always say hello. that gave me an opportunity to talk to him. So the other day when I saw him, an American Gangster, I said, shit, I haven't talked to that guy in a while. We were talking about him being on the podcast.
Okay.
And I fucking sent him a Facebook, and he goes, man, my world, this is dead. This is what happened to this business. Yeah. He goes, they said it was in New Orleans, and now they say it's in Atlanta and all this shit. The actor thing is very fucking hard because it's not what it used to be money-wise either. They just had an article in Variety that was on Twitter. People were retweeting it constantly. It's better if you recur now on a show than a series regular. Because there's no money in series regular money no more.
And recur is, what's the difference?
Recur is when I give you five episodes, four episodes. You come in for bigger money. If you're a guest star on a show, they'll say to you, okay, Steve Simone, you're going to be a guest star on my show. We're going to shoot eight episodes. You're on every fucking episode. Well, the work week is from Monday to Friday. It's unlimited. We're going to give you $4,800.
Yeah.
$4,800 is what you got for 3 days back when I moved here. $4,800 is fucking nothing. That's four. What's 48 divided by 5? That's nothing. That's $900. Scale is $700. So they want to give you $4,800 for fucking wardrobe and a table read. And people at home are like, fuck you, Joey. $4,800. You know how many fucking pork chops I can eat with $4,800? Not when you pay union dues.
Nope.
And they bang you out three times a year, plus at the end they bang you for a point and a half, plus the commission, plus the fucking taxes. Are you people kidding me?
Plus.
I got to make fucking 50 grand just to get insurance.
Break even.
You have no fucking idea, Lee. So if they're paying you $4,800 a week, and that's nothing.
And
that's,
how many auditions do you have to go on to book that week for $4,800?
Four fucking auditions. And then so Monday's a wardrobe and table read day. Tuesday's rehearsal day. Wednesday you run it for the producers. Thursday you run it for the network. And Friday you fucking tape. And if your day starts at 6 a.m. Friday and you're there at 11 o'clock, sorry. Fucking sorry. It's become something different. So if you recur, you go on there five times, maybe they'll give you $4,000 for your episode. So Steve's on the show fucking 6 days. I come on for 2 days and make more as a recurring. That's what I read. I don't know if they're actually going to go through with that. I don't really. Dog, I haven't worked on a fucking movie in a year. Why do you think I'm sitting across from you?
It makes sense.
2 years. I did a video game. That's it last year.
But you,
I went for two commercial auditions. I used to book two commercials a year. Never mind, and you wouldn't see him because I get cut out, it wouldn't get picked up, or it's a mafia commercial.
Yeah.
But I used to go to for fucking 12 auditions a fucking year for commercials, 15, 20.
Well, if you were trying to make a living as an actor, you would have gone out more last year, I think.
For you to make a living as an actor, you got to go out 12 times a month, three times a week, because it's numbers.
Yeah.
It's like sales. Sales is the same thing. I'm not going to call three people and sell a fucking house. But if I call 25 people, I'm going to have three people who are looking for a house. One person that's got an offer in, but his escrow won't fucking go through. He needs the government to come through with a loan and a house that's a little $100,000 cheaper. That comes to you from numbers. So if I go out on the first of the month, that role might be something that's a slow roll. It's not shooting for 6 months until fucking it shoots in New York. They don't give a fuck. You go on tape. Then you go for an audition. Then you go for a TV show. That shoots next week. You got to keep going. You got to keep building these up. So eventually, that guy from the first call, the actor on this show, fell out. So there you go. You were the second choice. It's fucking amazing.
It's like winning the lottery to get work.
It's amazing all the variables. When you see six, that's why I do not get the breakdowns. Most comics and most actors want to get the breakdowns. They want to know what's going on. It's like somebody showing you a picture of your mother sucking a dick. When you get the breakdowns,
you go just, crazy.
That's what they do. Breakdowns break you down because you really see what's out there for you.
You know, I could get this. I could get this.
Oh, my God. You sit there drooling at the mouth.
I'd be perfect at this.
And next thing you know, you're sending packages, you're calling.
Then you get desperate.
And you get desperate and they call. Sense it. And then, no. When I used to get the breakdowns, for a year, I walked around with a frown. I thought I was a piece of shit. How come I'm not going in for these roles?
Yeah.
And then somebody told me, let's say there's 10 roles for you, five of them are going to the director's friend.
At least
five. Just because they show those up, they're already cast.
Yep.
Nothing you can fucking do. They're already gone. And now there's five of them. There's a casting director that doesn't like you. There's another one that thinks you're just a tad too old. And there's another guy that thinks you're too Soprano-ish. So the 10 breakouts that came out that week, you were only really good for fucking two of them. So if you only go out for three fucking auditions a month, two of them are already gone. They're already gone. They already went to a director. And even if they have an offer out, they'll still read people. Why would you waste somebody's time? When you're right, when you're reading a book, anybody ever read a book, and as you're reading the book, you're casting the fucking thing?
Yes.
No, you
Or could. You hear a real-life story, and you go, oh, you know who'd play that?
He'd, really? Like what?
You've never done that. No. Cast a book. It's brilliant. It's the most brilliant thing you could do.
Okay, let's pick a book then.
Okay, one of the, in 1996, Josh Wolf gave me a book called Sleepers.
There you go.
And he goes, this is a great book. You got to fucking read this book. And it hit home with me about four kids. They had each other's back.
Yep.
They went to jail. They got molested. They never told nobody. And they went
after Count of Monte Cristo.
The Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
Just a great story, which was true. It was a true story. Then the guy had a back trace, and when they put a gun in his fucking mouth. He was really a Puerto Rican kid. That was one of the kids. They all hung out together. But one of the kids ended up being a Westies. A tough guy in the Westies.
Jesus.
So, and that's a great scene. That movie.
I haven't seen that in so long.
Sleepers. Sleepers, the shooting scene. Hit it on YouTube. Sleepers. Do you ever see it, Lee?
No, I didn't.
No, why would you? You were too busy seeing Tina Fey and whatever. That's well, but you haven't seen fucking Sleepers.
Can we tell them about the phone call I got?
No. Let's put Sleepers on and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
So.
What am I searching for?
Sleepers.
Shooting scene?
Yeah, shooting scene. Sleepers. I read the fucking book, and I gave it back to Josh. That's when we were on the road. It's features.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Josh, this is a fucking great book. And I remember looking at Josh going, this is going to be a great fucking movie. And we just had a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who would you pick for this movie? And I told him my picks, and he told me his picks, and we moved on with our fucking lives. Nobody got their feelings hurt. And all of a fucking sudden, he calls me one day, he goes, hey, pick up the USA Today. And then he goes, go to the entertainment section right there in bold letters. De Niro picked this for the priest. And I'm like, oh my fucking God. That's the same guy we did. What's it say?
Well, this one is the first one that came up. Well, it said Sleepers. And then this one says no politics, no religion.
That one, that's it. That's the one.
This one?
Oh, yeah, that's a great fucking scene. No politics, no really. Watch this guy. Look at this guy. Plays tremendous in this. Whatever his name is, from Almost Famous. Make it big.
Well, a lot of work to the House. It's going to take more than 4 years.
They'll take it at the midterm elections.
He's got the charisma.
He's our man. Reagan's a man. He's
going to move us forward. Hey, Jerry. Huh? What are they talking about?
They're talking about Reagan's speech.
Order those two men some drinks and put on my tab. Jerry, you tell them that Republicans are not welcome in Hell's Kitchen and either a political conversion or a change of conversation is in order.
Sure thing.
So that was the 80s and the 70s. No politics, no religion in a fucking bar.
Start a fight.
Slow it, slow. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let it roll. Where are you going?
No religion, no politics. Hmm? You get my meaning?
Billy Kudrick plays a fucking badass, Westy, junky motherfucker. And this Irish dude. That's it? Let's see what the next one is. Let's see. We're looking for the shooting, getting away with murder. The guy who plays the fucking godfather in this. You don't remember this movie, do you?
No, Steve, I got to go back and say. I remember it came out in the late 90s.
One of the best fucking mobsters ever, ever, ever. Look at Lee coming up with videos that are unavailable, slipping like a motherfucker. Unbelievable people. Monday night. January 11th, get your shit motherfucking together. ISIS has been sleeping lately, plotting their next fucking move, and there you are playing fucking jigsaw puzzles and shit. what's to say that? No politics, Hilo El Kaye, Sleeper's Vendetta. What's that scene that says above?
This one?
No,
this
a little one? Higher. What, right there? What's that one? No. No, we don't see it there. A lot of people in this fucking movie. This is a great movie, man. Brad Pitt's in this fucking movie. Sinatra's grandson's in this movie.
Kevin Bacon was in it.
Bacon's in this movie. Keep going. It's got to be in here. Hot dog cart.
How else could I search it?
The shooting scene. That's it. It should come up first. Right there. Yeah. That's it. Right there up on top. Watch that. And that. Once you die.
Oh, you ordered the meatloaf. The brisket's really good here, only you'll never know it. You fucked up.
You gotta watch this with Paula. This guy raped him in jail. He was a prison guard, and he raped all these fucking kids.
You scared little pricks. Both of yous. All yous. Scary shitless, but I tried to make you tough. I tried to make you hard.
Oh, I had you all wrong then, though. So all this time I thought you just liked fucking and beating up little boys.
You two motherfuckers are going to burn in hell. You're going to burn in hell.
And after you.
See who that was, guys?
Did that hurt, though?
Is this a fucking great scene, or is this a fucking great scene, Lee Syatt? Sleepers, Billy Kudrup and the Irishman put fucking 20 holes in this fuck. Well, look who it is in the bar. Look who it is. Who do you think that is? Tony Soprano's motherfucking sister.
How's it really?
Look what he says to the bartender, Lee.
Jerry, you should
have. He says, put it on my tab.
Oh my God.
He goes, sorry about that. He apologized to the fucking bartender.
Wow.
And you got time to watch fucking Tina Fey next time? Next time you call me and say, Joey, this is the movie choices we have. What should I do? And I go, listen, stop at Blockbuster, whatever the fuck's open, and get Sleepers. And you and Paula watch this motherfucking movie, okay? I forgot all about this till just now.
That's a good movie. I'm going to see if it's on Netflix.
And they talked the priest.
That's De Niro was the priest.
De Niro,
right?
Was the fucking priest. Great. And the guy who plays the gangster in this was going to play the original priest. But wow. He was a huge star in Italy. Mm. And they flew him in. And they said, this guy, bro, and the scenes that after they say cut, that people would just go, what the fuck was that? See if we got that. The fucking gangster. I can't remember what his name is. Look for.
Pull up on IMDb.
Pull up on IMDb.
What's there, but
Sleepers Gangster. Like, look.
Oh my God, I forgot all about this fucking movie.
There's some people that just
guys,
have it.
This is a fucking movie and a half. This was a great book and a mediocre film, but it was about four kids that went to jail, got molested, fucked in the ass. They made them suck the cops' dicks. Jesus. They did horrible fucking things to them. Remember, he made him suck his dick with the rosary beads and shit. I mean, they just did some.
You know what? That's why I don't think I remember this movie. It was just a little bit too dark for me. I think I remember going, ooh, I don't
what
think
what was the mafia guy's name?
I'm trying to find it. I don't know. Was his name Fat Macho?
No.
Young Shakes?
No, give me the names from the top of the characters.
Kevin Bacon, Billy Crudup.
No. Yep.
What?
The fucking names of the characters, not the original actors.
Oh, okay.
You still got to deal with
Noakes, Tommy, Father Bobby, John, Carol, King Benny.
King fucking Benny. Who played King Benny?
Oh, my God.
King Benny.
You see the one that waited 10 years to get his revenge or something like that for the guy that broke his balls?
Yes.
And he took his teeth out and put them on the fucking thing?
Yes. Yeah, King Benny. Type in King for Sleepers, King Benny. And but when he sits him down and he goes, listen, I've been blah, blah, blah. I mean, the guy makes you want to cry because he reminds me growing up with Carmine Balzano. He says to him, this is when we play on my side of the court. You did your job. You're a good boy. I always liked you. Oh, my God. Your heart fucking breaks. This guy's been teaching you the street the whole time. And now he goes, listen, this is where it ends for you. He's got a scene when he goes to see black people on 125th Street. And fucking Terizzo's brother. Okay, listen to Kim. Yeah, put on the first one. Talking about King Benny. There you go. Right there. Click that one and shit and see what comes up. King Benny, to me, was the best gangster I saw in movies. I think in a way better. He was refreshing. He just never did another fucking gangster movie. That's what sucked.
What did you like about it?
How he was just fresh. Like, you had never seen him on the fucking scene. Click back. We'll put a different one on. This ain't going to work. And this is some Stugat's fucking webpage. Go to Sleepers, take him to Rizzo's brother. That one is even good. Right there. Yeah, what's this shit here? Where's YouTube? We deal with YouTube.
I was trying to go there.
Unbelievable. Why did you even go to Meta Bill, whatever the fuck this is, from the start? We're YouTube people here. Jesus Christ, Lee, you're killing me. Salt in my eyes. King Benny. Look at Bert Kreischer with a karate suit on. You need that in your life? All right, click that one.
Hey, Charles, come on.
Salve, Benissimo. Alla faccia di chi ci vuole male.
Not this one. This is the Italian version. Go back. No fucking King Benny. Jesus fucking Christ. How can there be no King Benny? You see, I gotta deal with people.
See YouTube slipping.
Keep going.
Take the comma out, Lee, and put an S. So it says Sleepers King Benny.
And put a fucking a big S on Sleepers.
There you go.
A capital S on Sleepers. No, it's not fucking there. See, people? I try to bring you the best in American entertainment, and this is what I fucking get. I put that thing on that says Hell's Kitchen. You see the top of that real quick? Just put that on real quick. It says Hell's Kitchen. Put that on real quick. No, it's not working.
You want a Rolls Royce?
Here you go.
You don't come here. No. You go to England or wherever the fuck they make it. If you want champagne, you go see the French. If you need money, you find a Jew. But if you want dirt or scum buried under a rock somewhere or some secret nobody wants anybody to know about, there's only one place to go. Right here, Hell's Kitchen. It is the lost and found of shit. They lose it and we find it. Forget about it, man.
I still see Fat Mancho around town. He just shaved his head. He's my friend on Facebook. Hit it. Hit some little fucking whatever here. Monday night, you motherfuckers. We don't know what's cracking tonight and shit. Steve Simone's been quiet. When we come back, we'll talk about
it. I want to be around to pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart. Somebody twice as smart as I.
What's going on with you, brother? Sorry to interrupt you tonight.
Love the Tony Bennett right there.
Always. He's a fucking standby every Monday.
I know. It's the greatest.
What's up with you, player?
I guess I'm going to go to Denver with Ren, Azizi, and Ari at the end of the month. I'm trying to finish the writing for me and you.
And you're going to Shanghai and shit?
Going to Shanghai in March. I got the Comedy Store in San Diego in February.
Sure,
I'm putting it together.
What are you doing in San Diego? Once a month now?
Whenever I can get down there.
It's weird because San Diego is one of those places just so easy, you get hooked. It's so beautiful. You go down and you get a burrito. This is like, I'm going to get a fucking burrito.
Yeah, it's great. You get, it's like doing the road, but you don't have to buy a plane ticket. And I'm so sick of airplanes at this point.
You know, when I used to just travel, I used to enjoy cities. Now they've become a business. Like, I go in, I go out. I got to go home. I got a wife. I got to You know, we were talking about Duncan Trussell's tour.
Yeah, he's in a different city every night, right?
Yeah, he's got six nights a week. I would go crazy after the fucking 11th night. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie to nobody. Yeah. I'm not mentally tough like that no more. I'd worry about my wife, the kid, the weather. You know, I'm not mentally tough like
that. So many variables, too. Every day it's always changing.
You know, I wish I could do that. I wish I could go out for 2 months and then stay home for 10.
Yeah.
That's my fucking dream. But it's just not going to work. You know, I like the podcast to be fresh.
Yep.
You know, you want to be fresh. I'm not 21 no more, and I could fucking tell. You know, I could fucking tell, you know. And that's, I like that Gabriel goes out and stuff like that. I just don't have the endurance.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't want to travel on a fucking bus, dog. Listen, I don't want to smell your feet, and I don't want you to smell mine. That's my motto since I was a kid. That stopped me from doing so many fucking things. Listen, there's nothing like, you know, there's nothing like, I think the most humiliating thing about me going to prison was having to walk into a bathroom and smell somebody else's shit.
Yeah.
You don't know the meaning of life till you walk into a bathroom and you got to really smell somebody else's asshole, the deepness of that prison food with the salt and the fucking shit they put in it so you don't get your dick hard and all that. You don't know what life is when you walk into a bathroom and it's your shit. Or it's your girlfriend's shit, or it's your wife's shit, or it's your dad's shit. That's completely different than walking in and seeing like this disgusting guy just took a shit in there, plus somebody before. It's like taking a shit at the airport. You're walking to a bathroom at the airport, it's a tornado of shit.
I'm gonna throw up.
A bunch of shit spinning around, and you walk into this thing and you're trying to piss and keep your life together. But you keep getting all these weird, and you keep hearing pow. Every time they flush, a new fucking dose of shit goes in there. It's like a perfume machine. I'm in the 70s and 80s. I had the
perfume it automatically. Yeah.
You put a quarter in there and you press a button, and it shoots you in the fucking neck like a fucking Arab or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Disgusting. That's what my point is. Lee, I got problems too. I ate a couple fucking stars today. Sit up straight. Look at you. You're falling asleep on me.
No, I'm doing good.
You're dreaming of stopping at the Chinese restaurant. You're looking at the clock. I can tell you're looking to see what time they're delivered to. I'm not even a psychic, and I know this about me. He's sitting there looking at me going,
no, I know what time they deliver to.
Where am I going to eat tonight on the way home? Where are you going to eat tonight? What are your plans? Chicken and string beans? How good are those chicken and string beans
over there? Fucking good.
With the steamed rice, maybe a little shrimpy poo. Have you tried the sliced pork over there? Tell me the truth.
No, I don't. When I find something, I don't really go off of it. Like I'll add like little things to it, like soup, but I'll stick to it. So no.
So I got to deal with it.
Where's the sliced pork? Does it have the red edges on the sliced pork?
I don't. Like you got to be careful with pork.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah, that's why
I'm really fucking careful.
You're right.
With pork. I've been careful with pork, guys. For 30 fucking
You get that
years.
Trigonosis or whatever it is?
I don't know. These people who are crazy about this pulled pork. Listen, if you go to Subway and you get the pulled pork and you die of cancer, you deserve it. You brought it upon yourself because that shit will trigger something in your nervous system. Pulled pork from Subway is turkey that they put in pork blood, took it out, and then cook it. It's like the fucking Arby's. Remember Arby's? 15 years ago, you'd walk into Arby's. 20 years ago, you put some horseradish on it, they killed the fucking germs and some of the bugs on the roast beef. But you ate it. You put some of that fucking stomach, your cheese.
Yep.
Bro, my friends took a picture at Arby's and sent it to me on Twitter like fucking 2 years ago. It was the most disgusting thing I had ever seen in my fucking life, what they did with that meat.
I don't even know.
That fucking meat at the shawarma places where Lee eats. That they put everything in there, like dog bones and shit, and they just slice it off.
No.
Even though that place from the weed store, I heard, is very fucking good, man.
You know, the reason why I stick to certain items is because I know what's going to get me sick. Like, I don't get seafood almost anywhere. And then when people eat stuff that makes them sick, it's like...
That night you got the sushi and blamed it on my cookie.
It was your fucking goddamn cookie. It wasn't the sushi. I went back there recently like a month ago.
I know you did. You didn't get sick that night.
I didn't.
You fucking liar.
I didn't, goddammit. He always blames it on something else.
You're trying to blame it on my fucking weed cookie.
And then now can we talk about that call I got just randomly on Saturday night?
I was going to write a blog about this, but let's just talk about
it. Okay, never mind. I'm sorry.
Let's just talk about it since you brought it up. I'm a criminal. I'm a fucking lot of things, and I fucked up in my life. I'm sure Steve fucked up.
We're all human.
The one thing I like about Steve Simone that you guys have to like about me is I don't know about races. I don't know about UFC. I don't know about a lot of things, but I know about comedy. And I know who's faking the funk, and I know who's tricking America.
Yeah.
Half of this shit is a fucking trick.
Yep.
One of the punch drunk guys I know, Vinny Curto, told me something once in an audition. He goes, I really respect what you do. He goes, you got something these guys don't have. I'm like, here we go, Vinny Curto. He goes, no. In their lives, there's a director and there's an editor. What you do on stage, that's what fucking entertainment's about. Fucking a boxer who got hit in the head 80 times told me that.
Wow.
And I've always thought about that. When I came from Cuba, I loved the Dick Van Dyke Show.
And that liked, was a great
and
show.
I liked all these little subtle type comedies. But when I was a kid and I was learning English, the one thing I did not understand was out of the 10 shows I watched, 5 of them were funny. I Love Lucy. But the other 5, I didn't think were funny, but there was a laugh track.
Yeah.
Now, at that time, I didn't know it was a laugh track, guys. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm 7 and I know there's a laugh track. I did not know what a laugh track was. When I watched the Munsters, I would laugh, and they had a laugh track.
Yeah.
When I watched the Addams Family, it was a different humor than the Munsters, but I laughed. Mm-hmm. The show that put who I am today, the reason why Joe Diaz is a comedian, you know, when you ask people, they tell you this made-up contusion of fucking lies.
Yeah.
And want me to tell you something? Nothing happens off one thing.
I agree with
it's that. It's a bunch of things that come together that make you react to something. A, you listen to an album at your friend's house about comedy. You went and bought an album again. You listen to the second. I listened to The Nigga's Crazy and then Bicentennial Nigga. Richard Pryor. Did I want to become a stand-up? Not fucking really, okay? But then things happened. You know, different things popped up. I saw Lenny Clark on Rodney's special. I saw Kennison, you know. Ugh. I just saw all these things, and something pushed me over the top. In 1990, for people who are young and don't remember, comedy was all over television. Mm-hmm. I mean, guys, from 87 on, you couldn't switch the channels. I'm going to tell you who had television. Where's the pen here, Lily? Let me tell you who had, and this is, he's a young guy. A&E did comedy. Do you know that?
Night at the Improv
and Sunday Morning Comics with Rosie O'Donnell. And then she quit and they gave it to the kid, my friend. He's half Spanish, Bobby Collins. Nobody Wow. remembers this shit. They had this other show, Comedy Whatever. They had MTV.
Half Hour Comedy Hour.
Yep. And Kamikaze. They had 20 fucking TV shows on. I remember Felicia and the guy from the old Jewish kid from the store, and I remember a lot of those guys on those shows. So after listening to Pryor and listening to Kennison, one day when you're sitting there in Stoneville or wherever the fuck you are, you see some stand-up and you go, I'm funnier than this guy.
Yep.
And then two people at work say to you, hey, have you ever considered stand-up? And it's all these events that make a person get into stand-up. The way it might make somebody go to law school.
Yeah.
The way it might make somebody become an astronaut. It's an event of things.
Now, when you're saying, like, before you actually make the decision and you're saying no, do you still secretly want to be a stand-up or no?
At this age, I was living in my house. I just got thrown out of Catholic school. I had my own TV in my room. And one night, I started watching this fucking show. And it was a fat guy. His name was Jackie Gleason. And he would push around this other guy. And I don't know how many. I didn't like some of the black and white shit at that age. I was very impartial to black and white television. I just didn't like it. I didn't know. Me being from Cuba, why am I watching black and white television? I should be watching fucking color TV.
Yep.
But this shit was so funny. But there was a show that came on after that called the fucking Odd Couple. Oh, my God.
I remember that.
Oh my God, with the Pigeon Sisters and all this shit. And then you had the Twilight Zone. Oh my God. And then you had Sanford and Son on Friday nights, and you had Chico and the Man on Friday nights. But there was quite something about the 11 o'clock show. The Honeymooners, oh my God. I would run home at night, and my mom would make frituritas eso. You know what frituritas eso is? Huh?
No.
It's calf brains breaded with chicken cutlet.
Wow.
With Progresso breadcrumbs, Italian, and then fried on a frying pan, deeply burnt. And when you eat them, the inside is crispy, and your mom would squeeze lemon on them. And I don't know how many nights I would sit there with a plate in front of me, like 30 of them, just slicely thin calf braids. And I'd be on the phone with Valentin Ferro or Whitey O'Donnell or somebody howling at the Honeymooners, you know, from stupid lines. We'd be howling. And then you just watch them. Then Benny Hill came on at 10:30. And now I'm in the eighth grade. I'm in the eighth grade, and this is my fucking comedy. And there's a guy by the name of Peter Sellers.
Oh, yeah.
And he's making these fucking movies that every time I fucking go to these movies, I fucking die of fucking laughter. I'm dying of laughter. But the whole time I'm watching these Honeymooners, then something weird happens. One day, certain kind of kids in my class would chitter-chatter on Monday mornings about this fucking show called Saturday Night Live. Oh, my God, did you watch the sketch? Oh, my God, it was so... And I'd sit there and go, what's Saturday Night Live? And they would go, it's on before Don Kirshner's rock concert or the Midnight Special. And I would go, what the fuck are you people talking about? And the girl's name was Jacqueline Garcia. Jacqueline Garcia, our sister Lillian, and they had like a certain boyfriend. They were way older than me. Lillian was a year older than me. Lillian was a couple years older than me. Jacqueline was a year older than me. And then all the kids would go over the house. So one fucking Saturday nights you stayed home. It was the Love Boat. It was the Fantasy Island. You didn't fucking leave the house. We would all meet like at 7:30, smoke a little pot, get fucking really stoned, and go to somebody's house and watch Fantasy Island and this fucking other show, this fucking Love Boat. And if you were lucky, you made out with the girl or whatever. But now I start hanging out. I'm smoking dope. My mom still had the bar. And one night I'm going home, and I'm like, this is going to blow my fucking doors off. And I put on Saturday Night fucking Live. And I sat there for 20 minutes listening to these people laughing and this. And it was like, not for nothing. I don't think this is funny. Mm-hmm. I didn't say nothing. I went to school that Monday. And again that Saturday, I fucking went home and put it on again. And I was like, this is not fucking funny. But I couldn't say it. I couldn't say it because all these kids.
Said it was the best.
They said it was the best. And then a new guy came on the scene. His name was Benny Hill. And his show would come on at 10:30. That changed the game for a lot of motherfuckers.
You see some boobs on there.
You'd see some boob on there. You'd see a girl with a bikini.
That's great.
You'd get all hot, jerk off. You'd be dizzy. Then the Honeymooners would come on. And it was on and on. But this whole time, I'm thinking, boy, this fucking show sucks. And then, you know, Animal House was funny. And then, you know, Harold Ramis made. You know, I wasn't a big Ghostbuster fan the first time I seen it. I was a fucking big time. Once Eddie Murphy got on Saturday Night Live, I started watching Eddie Murphy and him and Piscopo doing Sinatra. That's when I really, really enjoyed that. Like, I wouldn't go home for it, but if you taped it on the VCR, I'd fucking watch. And I'd laugh at Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy, you know, in 1982 might be the greatest force of nature in comedy.
That was, and then he released... Was it 48 hours? He released 48 hours. September, October of 82, 48 hours came out. You have no fucking idea. You've never seen 48 hours.
I've seen Trading Places.
You've never seen 48 hours. You can't handle 48 hours.
That invented like almost a whole new genre of like that action comedy type film.
Well, it invented the action comedy, and it also blew up the black white. If you see how many roles they've done since then, the black white.
Yep.
And they've actually... said, listen, we want, it's Eddie Murphy. If they wanted Eddie Murphy's ever since that. Because Pryor wasn't like that with the white boy that was fucking hilarious.
Gene Wilder. They had great chemistry too. It was a different thing. Yeah.
The Eddie Murphy thing with whatever was a
Nick
funny.
Nolte.
With Nick Nolte. Was
Dan Aykroyd, they killed it together. Eddie Murphy.
Luther, you know, he was great in that movie too. The guy from The Longest Yard, that whole scene. I mean, it was just weird. But I was never really sold on Saturday Night Live. And then I get into comedy, you know, I hear the stereotypes that you have to be a really good stand-up and they won't let you on there. They're improv group.
Yep.
No, I got it. All right. I'm not here to judge nobody. I just fucking said it's not my thing. I don't know. And if I would go home some nights on Saturdays and I'd watch Saturday Night Live and it was just horrible. Horatio, whatever. It was just garbage. And one day I saw a sketch with Jimmy Fallon and Horatio Sands. Look at this fucking mookie. Horatio Sands and the other guy. And it was a sketch of a snake had bit Horatio Sands in the dick. And they called the doctor. And then he hung up and he goes, what? He goes, the doctor says, you have to suck it out. And he goes, he hangs up the phone and he goes, what did the doctor say? Am I going to live? And he goes, it looks like you're going to die. That's the first joke you hear in second grade.
Yeah. And it's like the Woody Allen movie when the girl gets bit on the boobs.
I got insulted by that joke. I fucking waited for the show to end and I counted 19 writers. And I'm like, 19 fucking white NYU kids? That's the best fucking sketch they could come up with. We live in a fucked up society. So now, okay, I don't have to watch it. Do you think I yelped it? Do you think I went on Twitter or MySpace or whatever and said I don't like it? No.
Right.
Life goes on. I just don't like the fucking show. It's gone somewhere else. It's a bunch of trendy New York kids who go there and they giggle and they drink a little wine and everything is just great. I would die of boredom at those fucking tapings.
Yeah, I don't think it's what it once was, for sure. Like, nobody talks about it anymore. And, like, 11-year-old kid, it used to be, like, for kids. Like, it really was. It was when I was 11, 12, I loved it when I was a kid. And then you start to do comedy and you get out there. And I'll tell you this, I'm so spoiled. I've been a comedy fan my whole life. I love it. I've always loved laughing. Stand-up comedy in person is a totally different experience than watching it on TV when you feel a part of it. And sometimes I get depressed. I go to the store and I just sit and watch my friends, and it's the greatest thing in the world. I'm spoiled. I get to see the funniest people in the world do their thing.
People always are really disappointed in me. Joey, you should really do a special. You know why I don't want to do a special? Because I don't like them.
Mm.
Out of the 200 specials they've shot, I could tell you six specials that have blown me the fuck away. Six specials that have really made me go home and go, wow, I'm fucking thinking about this shit. Do you want me to tell you? I know Delirious sent me for a loop.
Absolutely.
I know Dice Clay's first special sent me for a loop. I know Live on the Sunset Strip sent me for a loop.
I agree with those three.
One of the Carlin ones, I don't remember the name of that, sent me for a loop. And both the comedy things with... the thing that got me in comedy were those two fucking Dangerfield tapes.
Young Comedian Specials.
Young Comedian Specials.
Amazing.
You know, Seinfeld, Dom Herrera, Kennison, Hicks, Dice, Robert Townsend, Roseanne Barr, Carol Leifer.
Yeah.
Those two tapes really put me over the top.
I agree.
That was
great.
My comedy fucking lesson, you know? And I got to tell you something, guys. I watched the other night, Fucko here went on a date. He got these cards. He took his date to Ruth Chris Steaks. Everybody was cheering. I salute. You know what I'm saying? And the next minute, I go, where are you? He goes, I'm at the movies. I go, all right. He calls me later. I thought he was like a fucking good movie. He calls me, and he got tricked into seeing that Betty Ford fucking movie with those two bros.
How was it?
Horrendously fucking
bad. It was terrible.
Just horrendously bad. You don't need to know it. They're just milking them now.
It's been a while since I saw a comedy film that made me laugh. It's been a long time. And I think part of the problem is, part of the problem is I get to watch stand-up every night, and it's great when you see it live.
Somebody called me the other night, and they thought that Creed was the worst movie they ever saw in their life. A kid I've known for 35 fucking years.
They thought it was the worst movie they ever saw?
One of the worst movies they ever saw in their life. But like I said, everybody has different opinions.
Especially with comedy. It's very subjective.
I'm sick of fucking tired of going to bad movies. I went to see Concussion last week.
Mm.
Not fucking bad. You know, they changed in a different direction, but I got where they changed it. And Will Smith always holds you. Over the weekend, I watched Spotlight about the Catholic priest in Boston. Fucking crazy. Fucking, why didn't you go see that? Yeah, she wanted to go see Tina Fey. Listen, how about you go sit and see Tina Fey by your fucking self, all right? I'm going to go see a fucking man movie and sit through that shit. So the other night, I'm going through my TV. My wife goes to bed. I got the night off. I go, let me, I go, Saturday Night Live is starting.
Mm-hmm.
I put on Saturday Night Live, and it's a repeat. It's okay. Tina Fey and the fucking chick. And they're out there. Both of them look like they got hit by a fucking truck. And they're out there, whatever, and people are cheering. And it's this fake foo-foo fucking cheer. And what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Then they introduce the cast. And you can tell none of these guys have done dick. Like, they fucking did Chicago improv shit for 6 months. Like, they folded. They had go up at the store in between Chappelle and fucking Ron White. They would fold.
Right.
Like, their heads would fucking explode. It's unfucking explainable what happens to you, you know? And I'm watching
the show.
Remember
you telling me that story about a kid that had all this heat, and they threw him up in the OR, and he buckled. And then that was it.
They buckled. And then I called Lee right away, and I go, you know, I'm watching this. Joe Rogan retweeted something last week that Harvard studies prove that these new kids in college have no sense of humor.
Mm.
No sense of humor. Did you see the tweet? Go look through his tweets. Fucking interesting article. No sense of humor.
I wonder what
you
that is.
You can tell when there's young kids at my show. I can tell.
Mm.
Are they the ones who go like, ooh, or the, what happens?
Ooh, and they walk past you, and the girls walk past you. Meanwhile, they've had chlamydia twice. What the fuck's wrong with you? Looking at me all goofy.
I have no idea what you just said.
Anyway, you don't need to know what the fuck I said. See what I got to deal with? You said I got to, you think it's easy?
You think it's easy?
You think it's easy being cheesy, greasy, and sneezy? Let me give some shout-outs here. My main man, happy birthday to Lance Armatrault Jr. My main man, Tyler Knapp. Josh Dice God. Daniel Jamie. Ian Spencer. Brad Miller. Brandy Lynn. My main man running the Dominicans over there, Renee Encarnacion. And the whole Dead Squad motherfucking family. Don't not forget, I'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina, January 28th in St. Louis Helium, February 4th through the 7th.
Nice.
What's up with you, brother? Always a pleasure to fucking see you.
Thank you for letting me stop by.
No, man. What was I saying to you? One thing I see that nothing bothers me more when you watch a TV show. I never understood giving somebody something if you're going to say something.
What do you mean?
Like, when I was a kid, my mom put an all-points bulletin out to all my mom's friends. Because in my society, in that age, whenever your mom's friends see you, they always give you a hug and they put 10 in your pocket.
Yes.
Or 10 in your hand. Well, yep. My mom caught me with a switchblade once, a big fucking knife.
Yeah.
And she found out what the knife cost. And she told everybody, do not give him fucking money. So there were some people who'd still put a 20 in my hand or a 10. And I wouldn't say nothing. But there were some people who put a 20 in my hand, and then a week later, go, what'd you do with the 20 I gave you last week in front of
your mom?
And I would fucking want to kill them, you know? So there's people, like when you do a benefit thing at your house, people come to your fucking house for you to, so some guy give you a plaque that you donated $25,000 and everybody claps.
Right.
And you're a fucking hero in front of your friends. I've always loved when I go, like when I go on GoFundMe for somebody and I donate, the reason why I put my name is because I want the people to know that I appreciate their support, even if it's on Twitter. I don't want them to buy a ticket.
Right.
There's people I go back and forth with on Twitter that I know they're good people.
Absolutely.
We've had communications, and just because they live in Canada or whatever doesn't mean that I've gone through their stuff. They've sent me stuff, you know, about
there's
their family.
So many good people out there. Absolutely.
Some great family just sent me a Christmas card. I forgot it on the table. I just got it late from the agency. There's so many, I don't even know what I'm getting at the point. You know what I'm saying? I'm as high as Lee. I'm just keeping them one together.
No, I was thinking earlier, now when you go somewhere, you know roughly how many people you have there from like the podcast or Twitter before. Would, like, promoters kind of screw you? Would they be like, oh, we'll give you this much money, but you have no idea how many seats you can sell?
Like, nobody tells you the exact amount of seats. They all lie to you by 50 seats. 50 seats at $20 is a lot of fucking money.
$1,000.
That's $1,000. No, 50 seats at $20? Yeah. Really? No
yeah.
shit?
Yeah, $1,000.
Well, yeah, $1,000. That's a big difference in somebody's world. You know, a promoter will say, I only sat 225, but he sat 275.
Yeah.
He's taking $1,000 right off the top before expenses. Already 25, 50% of that should go in your fucking pocket. But today somebody hit me up. They want to produce a show. I know you want to produce a show, but here's what's going to happen. You've never done it before. That means guess who's advertising this show? Me.
Yeah.
So you're not putting, you've never done it before. You know, well, what do you think? That these agencies are going to call you and push people to do business with you? They don't know who you are.
Right.
You just can't get a theater and go, guess what? I'm booking comics. You have to build a relationship, give deposits. You have to do all this shit.
Prove that you're capable.
Yeah, if not, they won't fucking listen to you. These agencies won't do it unless you go, all right, Steve Simone, Joe Diaz, and Lee. I want $10,000 apiece, but I want $30,000 up front. I want $25,000 up front. Again, that's how you know if an agency is real from the jump. I want the deposits for the room, the hotel room. I want the flights picked up. Bah, 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 bah. This all goes back to the 7-5 when he asked for that money up front.
Yeah.
You know, he knew if the guy was real, 25 is just a gift. Years ago, when he got really big, they said that, fucko, if you want me to read the script, $25,000. Can you imagine? You're like, hi, I have a script for Marlon Brando. I hope you got a check attached. What are you talking about? Brando wants $25,000 to read a script.
Wow.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he's on the island. And he's got a fax machine over there, and the money comes right out in 20s. Go to Western Union and send the fucking money to him, or if not, he's not going to read your fucking script. People couldn't believe it. And it raised people's awareness. It makes people know. And we're scared to ask people. We feel embarrassed because, you know, but look what happened. I didn't even know. I forgot all about that fucking story. When you slept on the floor and some guy was fingering you in the middle of the night and shit.
No, I had a bed. But I felt terrible. Like,
yeah.
I felt terrible because this is my, like, first experience. I felt bad that, like, I felt like I was holding Steve down.
Ah, please.
I felt, but.
Life goes on.
No, it ended up being fine. But it's all, how much of it at the beginning is not having enough confidence in yourself and, like, being like, oh, I'm worth, I can ask for this. It's not ridiculous that I would ask.
I still remember every person that ripped me off. I still remember every person that gave me $100 and the room was packed. And I saw them getting a taste of the bar. I saw people. Years ago, there was a comic who had a room 5 hours away. And they would pay you and then give you an envelope for him. And let's say you were the feature act and you got 150 and the headliner got 250. One day I lifted the guy's envelope. He was getting 500. He was booking the room and taking $500. So one day I did the gig again, and this time I got the same envelope. I put 300 in it. I gave him that. I split the 100 with everybody. And he called me, and I said to him, that envelope got $500. Your budget for the two comedians who were driving 5 hours is 450. I'm giving you 300. He was pissed. He didn't talk to me for a long time, but he couldn't say nothing. Because if I outed him, I'd end up losing the room to somebody, and that was the end of that.
Right.
How can you be a comedian? Listen, if you're a booker and you do that, I get it. I get it. You probably have an office and a phone. But if you're a comedian doing that, you want to pick up a deuce for booking the room? I'm with you.
Yeah, let everybody get that. That's fine.
4 times a month, that's 800 a fucking month.
Pay your rent.
From booking a room. You do 2 of those a month, that's 1600 a month. All you're doing is calling Joe Diaz and Steve Simone and going, the budget's 500. Do it however the fuck you want to chop it up. If I want to give Steve $25, he takes it. He's an opening fucking comic.
Yep.
You understand me? This guy was taking more than the fucking comics were for not even driving. That's some shit that's fucking crazy. That's crazy. I'm a thief, and I wouldn't fucking do that.
And he would have done it for years if he didn't get caught.
Oh, he probably did do it
for years. He did it for years.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but he would still be doing it.
Probably. When I gave him that envelope, when he called me the next day, it was hilarious. He didn't know about the same envelope trick. You know me. I pulled that trick. When I was 18, I used to work at a bar and they'd deposit, and the guy would keep 10 of those deposits in the freezer, in the refrigerator. I had the double key. I would go in the middle of the night and fucking, you know me, at first I was steaming the envelopes and taking a $100 bill out and leaking it, but it would pop up in the lid and he would know. So I said, fuck it. I just went and got the exact same envelopes he had under the bar. And I would go in there, rip the envelope he had, take a yard out and put change the number and put it in there with the receipt. He'd go crazy. Now they got him. How the fuck did they get into the envelope? They must be a magician. Nah, bitch, you got the mind of Joey Diaz when he needs coke. That motherfucker becomes creative. Fuck Purple Rain and all that bullshit. Look at the shape of you, Lee. Your head's bobbing like a retarded little kid and shit. Look at you. But my point was, man, we discussed on the podcast once, Lee said, listen, don't forget to go to this thing and donate Steve Simone's thing. And I go, Lee, when you get home, please tweet it so I can donate. Then like a week later, and when I went home, the baby, the wife, yeah. I go home and a week later, Lee goes, listen, he raised a bunch of money.
It was a miracle.
You know, you didn't fucking bitch about it. You didn't make a big deal about it. You know, you realize how lucky you are every Absolutely. Day when you get up. There's a lot of motherfuckers that do not realize. I'm the type of guy, I like donating to things, but I don't want people to fucking know.
Yeah, I don't
want people to know I want to make that day.
I always kept my mouth shut. And then I realized the world does a really good job of giving people an opportunity to do the wrong thing. Every day we're surrounded by opportunities to fuck up. And I thought, you know what? I know people are good and people want to help. And I go, I have an opportunity for people to help. So I didn't break anybody's balls about it. I was just like, hey, there's people out there. We could put the money right, go straight to the families. There's no organization taking 90 cents of every dollar. This is going straight to a family that's trying to put together a Christmas for their kid who's in the hospital. Or this is going straight to a family where their kid's got cancer and the mom's got cancer and their house burned down. And we're going to make sure that they got a house to move into when this kid gets out of the hospital. And I believe in people. I really do. And I think people are amazing. And I was very humbled to have a chance to say, like, not like, hey, look at me for doing this, but hey, there are people that need help. If you want to help, here's your chance. And people did it. So I'm going to continue. I think that's going to be a big part of my life because I am so grateful for all the blessings I've been given. And I don't deserve all the great things in my life. So I just want to make sure if there's ever a chance for me to help to somebody, I am going to help. I am. That's
very nice. Yeah, you know, I don't have to read the Steve Simone Foundation for fucking kids missing a hoof or nothing.
Yeah, whatever.
That's what I like. I like that you didn't, and I respect that. I respect that a lot. I really, there's people who are very good at that. There's people, that's what they genuinely do.
Yeah.
Then there's people who just do it to get attention.
Yeah, I'm not one of those.
And I see it coming a mile
away.
Yeah,
I'm not one of those.
When people do it to get attention, you see it coming a mile away. Like, my cause is about, there's this black village in Australia that people throw rocks at. Listen. There's black kids getting thrown rocks at in a lot of fucking
right down the street.
Right down the fucking street. Right down the street.
You want to help somebody?
Yeah. But they do it just to seem more intelligent. How did you find out about it? I did research. I went to a tour in Baja one year and did, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
But the black kid down the block, you never give a dollar to 7-Eleven. Right. You know he's not smoking crack. You could see. I know the difference between a crack smoker and a mental health guy. The mental health guy, sometimes I just go in the middle and give him one.
Yep.
That fat lady with the fucking wheelchair, that's a bum wheelchair. She goes around the corner with the scooter and gets out into a Cadillac. I seen that fat fuck. She lives in the back of the car and shit in the Cadillac.
She's a Cadillac?
Yeah, she's the fucking scam artist. By 7-Eleven, she plays retarded and shows you a pussy. Like her underwear is like fat and they got skid marks on them.
Jesus.
That lady lives in a fucking brand new Cadillac 2 blocks away. You got to see her pick the wheelchair up with one hand and throw it in the fucking trunk. And here you are with the $2. And she's taking that thing right to fucking the track up there in fucking Rosedale, whatever that is.
Yep.
Hollywood Park, whatever. I swear to God.
You got
to
be careful.
I can tell mental health. There's a little black kid by 7-Eleven in Magnolia.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out of the wilderness around 10:30, quarter to 11. If you're over there by a 7-Eleven, you'll see him by the dumpster.
Yeah.
I always buy him a pound cake,
yep.
a Coke, and I give him like $5. And you see him, bro, his eyeballs, listen, it doesn't take a genius to know he's got mental health.
Yeah.
He's not a black bum. He's got mental health. There's another black guy that lives right by my house, under that bridge.
Oh, God.
There's garbage out. Won't take a donation. He tells me he chooses to live that way.
Wow.
And he's as intelligent. I've discussed this guy before. He lives on Chandler before you hit Colfax. There's a bridge. Under that bridge, behind it, there's a fence opening. He puts his shit out, and in the daytime, he gets sun on the park bench. I don't know where he bathes. He's got a thing with hubcaps, and he sells them. Yeah. You don't know how many times I've taken a hubcap and go, let me give you $3 for this. I don't want no donations, man. I do this as a choice.
Yeah.
I've even tried to lay sandwiches next to him, like from the fucking Jersey Mike's. He wants to cover his own spread. Wow. And I respect that. What the fuck am I going to do? Yeah. I respect that shit.
Yeah.
Look at you. You're sitting over there drooling all over yourself like, you know, Jimmy Belinda. You all right?
I'm fine, yeah.
What'd you do today? You hung out at the house all fucking day. I got a nothing day.
Yeah, no.
I didn't get no sun today. The sun was shining. The birds were chirping.
Well, I was trying not to get sick. And, yeah, I just had a day
number. Trying not to get sick, cocksucker. What were you doing? Sitting on the couch trying not to get sick with your feet up, looking at your toes, thinking this is a good country?
Yeah.
Right now, a kid my age is getting shot in Israel. Here I am trying not to get fucking sick. There's a black kid in Australia with flies on him right now. You think he's trying not to get sick?
Australia? Yeah.
But here you are in your condominium up there in Van Nuys, laying back, thinking to yourself, I'm not even going to leave the house today because I might get sick. Do you understand me, what I got to deal with?
I don't have the same exact day I always do, except I didn't leave for an hour and a half. That was it.
You didn't leave till I called you at 5, you lying sack of shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you were in the house all goddamn day till 5
o'clock. I was in the house all day.
All day. You didn't even step out to get sun, nothing. Breathe. Nothing. Breathe fresh air. You're in there smelling that Jew air by yourself, the penny jar, the whole fucking thing by yourself.
You gotta smell the penny jar sometimes.
This is what I gotta live with. You understand me?
Best.
Give me the fucking sheets. You pissed me off. A beautiful day today. It's gonna rain for 4 days. El Nino's making a comeback. And you're in the house till 4 o'clock, not even outside the peak. He lives like Herman. He lives like Grandpa under the fucking stairs. I try to get him out. He's a young man, 27 years old. I try my fucking hardest to get him out of the house. Nothing. He's thinking about getting sick. That's what he tells me. 27, I was smoking fucking Freebase Coke. I had a lung that was bleeding. You think I was worried about getting sick? This is what I got to deal with, ladies and gentlemen. But here you go. This is why, how I deal with them. This is a great way to start your year, by the way. Let's be honest. Most of your problems start in your fucking mind. This thing I go through with the breathing, this is all in my mind. I worked out with a guy on Sunday, and he was telling me how my heart rate was great. He goes, maybe you lost so much weight around your fucking chest that your heart's beating a little bit too fast and you're not controlling it. He goes, just breathe it out of your nose.
Huh.
You know, fear, anger, stress, anxiety, depression, sleeplessness. All this is caused by a little bit of stress. They begin in your head, but they can wreck your life. All right? So here's the beauty of it. It doesn't have to be that way. You can make a major difference in just 10 minutes a day. This change comes through guided meditation with the new app, Headspace app. Headspace is a meditation made simple. It's guided meditations that you listen to whenever you want, wherever you want, right on your phone, computer, a tablet, in your car, whatever. Meditation is rooted in thousands of years of tradition with thousands of scientific studies that show its positive effects, like improving focus, relationship, harmony, decreasing anxiety and stress. You guys are listening to me going, Joy, what the hell do you know? When I had all my problems in 91, when I came out, I used to go to Naropa. And on Mondays, I learned how to do the walking meditation. I learned how to meditate. And this time now, I'm just sitting there, and I'll fold my legs up, and I'll just breathe, and I'll focus my third eye, and I'll just look straight. Whatever the hell it is, I still know it helps me. Join over 4 million users already getting some Headspace for free right now. This is what I want you to do. Download the free Headspace app and begin their Take 10 program for 10 days of guided meditation at headspace.com/Joey. The Headspace 10 program is 100% free way to experience the benefits of meditation in your busy modern life. Train your mind for a healthier, less stressed life. Start your free trial today at headspace.com/Joey. That's headspace.com/Joey, okay? That's it. It's that easy. Also, please reference Andy Podicom's TED Talk, which has 5.5 million views. Wow. It should come up if you Google Andy Podicom's TED Talk, TED in capital letters, talk. Andy is the founder of Headspace and the voice you hear in the app. You don't need to put aside loads of time or immigrate to Tibet. Andy did that for you, all right?
It's very interesting.
Yeah, no. 10 minutes is relatively easy to find, but it just takes a little effort. So do me a favor. Again, go to headspace.com/Joey. That's headspace.com/Joey. Look at Lee. He's already in fucking headspace, okay? Number two, when it comes to supplements, Inky Doinky, nice and easy. Nuts and Bolts, onnit.com, whether it's the Alpha Brain, whether it's the hemp protein shake, whether it's the tea booster, these things work. These supplements are tested. I mean, Aubrey believes so much in Onnit that right now, if you get Alpha Brain, it don't work for you. If you're not sharper, if you're not thinking quicker, if it doesn't work for you, you get 100% money-back guarantee, and we don't want the product back. Who does that for you, okay? But don't believe me. Go to Onnit.com right now and look at the fine selections of supplements. They have kettlebells. They got gorilla kettlebells. Listen, I can't help you out with the kettlebells, but I'll get you 10% off at the supplements. And guess what? They get delivered right to your door. Go to Onnit.com right now and press in.
Church.
And get 10% off your first order delivered to your door, all right? That's Onnit.com/Church. Delivered to your door. Get the best supplements in the business with the best guarantee in the business. I go on my cycles of fucking Alpha Brain. As you can tell, I'm on an Alpha Brain cycle right now. I'm getting deep, deep, deep like the Rock of Gibraltar. Anyway, also, Hitty Cigs right now. Electronic, the best. Best taste, best flavor, long-lasting. 1,200 guaranteed puffs, no matter how you look at it. Who gives you 1,200 guaranteed puffs? You could blow a crack hole. You give $1,000, she can't puff your fucking dick 1,200 times. But Hitty Cigs, go puff that fuck 1,200 puffs. Listen, they're usually 20 a piece. They're running a special half price. We'll give you 5 for fucking $50. That's 50% off the original price. These are tremendous. You get a cigar, plus you get a 24 milligram, 16 milligram, an 8 and a 0. So you want to quit smoking. It's the new year. That's where we come in. Hitty Cigs. I want to thank Onnit.com.
Use code word Joey's Church.
That's right. And get 5 for $5. And I also want to thank Headspace.com right now. Give me some dates, Steve Simone. Where are you traveling to?
I'm going to be at the Denver Comedy Works the last 2 weeks of January with Ari Shaffir and Steve Renazzisi.
And then where are you going?
And then the next day for sure is the third week of February. I'm going to be at the La Jolla Comedy Store.
And then March, you're going to Shanghai.
Yeah.
You're doing a tour.
Singapore and Shanghai.
We got a lot of people who listen to the podcast.
You do?
We got family in fucking Shanghai.
It's
you
great.
Understand me?
It's
last time
around the world.
Somebody was on here talked about Shanghai. They went there, they did heroin. Some chick sucked their dick with a blindfold on. That's a party we run here at the church, Jack.
I love you, Joey. Thanks for having me.
Where you going? We ain't
oh, I thought we
yet.
Were.
And you have a blood drive on the 13th.
Yeah, that'd be huge.
Where's the blood drive?
It's going to be at Children's Hospital, Los Angeles.
Let me ask you, is there a couple, they give you a couple of volumes or anything to calm you?
I don't know. You
think you could talk to the nurse, give me a couple of volumes?
They might do it for you.
You ever see that when people pass out, when they give them blood, they go right for their dick? You ever see that? That's why they got to pop their pants open.
No.
If you go to the Red Cross, look at the people. They always got it. They go for their dick. They shake like that. You never seen that?
Who goes for the dick?
I don't know. That's what I heard one time at those places. You got to be careful. People pass out.
That's what they go for.
How long is the drip? How long do you sit there giving blood?
It all depends. You can sign up in advance now.
And what? How long do you sit there for, Steve? What's the longest you sat there giving blood?
For me, it took a long time because I didn't make my appointment in advance, and I wasted.
That's not the question. How long
they wouldn't let me, they wouldn't take my blood because I went to Iraq, so I got to wait until May of this year because I went to Iraq.
Blood drive and then get blood. You got me over here giving praises about you. You didn't even get blood.
They wouldn't let me do it.
You see what I got to deal with?
I'm honest. I'm not lying. I went to the back.
This guy don't get blood. This fucking Jamoke. Look at him. Look at this fucking dude. Where are you gonna go tonight?
Home.
I hope so. So when people put the needle in their arm, how long does it usually take?
Couple minutes.
How many minutes? 20.
20 minutes you should be done.
20 minutes, 16 ounces. Yeah. You know how many times I would faint in fucking 20 minutes? They would just pull it out and go, no, that's enough. This poor guy, he looks like Jesus at the end of the road. Like, God. Jesus Christ. Every time I think about that, I get anxiety. Just give them blood. Like, I could give a couple ounces. I could give 6 ounces. But you know what? Between me and you, there's no kid that needs my blood. My blood is shot. I could see it. It's like purple. It's like, you know, it's like black people blood. I got like purple tiger blood and shit.
Tiger blood.
I got that shit with the HIV that fucking Charlie Sheen got. It just hasn't made his appearance. I got a rash on my ankle I've had for a year. I don't even say nothing. You know what I'm saying? Every time I go for a blood test, I just keep my fingers crossed.
And Hail Mary.
Hope they don't fucking catch it. What do you got planned, Lisa? Yeah, you got your new podcast, fucko, don't you?
Yeah, it's called Life in Neutral. The new episodes will come out tomorrow. Well, we have one, the first episode came out last week.
You're beautiful. You're starting new podcasts. You're keeping it alive this year. No more people coming disrupting you. You know what I'm saying? You get disrupted easy. That's it. This guy's the only guy you could disrupt. You could talk to him at 1 o'clock and he'll tell you about this diet he's on, South Beach, and at 2 o'clock, I'm going to get tacos. You're going to get tacos there. We just had to talk about dieting. When are you going to get tacos then?
If you just get tacos, they're not bad.
No, no, no. If you eat 18 of them.
You don't eat 18 of them.
How many tacos did you eat? 4.
Yeah.
How do I know that? Do you think I don't know this? What about the rice, the sour cream?
You don't get rice?
You didn't work out all weekend, nothing. I'm out there 50 fucking sweating like a pig, smelling like dick. And you're at home. I don't want to feel sick.
That's yeah, because Paul is sick. And I don't want to get sick because we have a busy week.
You said I live one. One guy don't get blood. The other guy don't want to get sick. I should stab him in the fucking neck right now. He's probably a half a hemophiliac. He died of death over here. I love you guys. We'll be back Wednesday, the 13th, or Thursday, the 14th. We haven't fucking decided yet. I love you, motherfuckers. Also, rest in peace, Dave Bowie. It's a fucking shame, but we all die. What are we gonna do, Lisa? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I might be gone tomorrow. You never fucking know. God bless all you motherfuckers. Thank you for listening to the church. My main man, Steve Syatt, my little brother, fucking Steve Syatt. Steve Perfect. Simone, and my little brother, Lee Syatt. Stay black, cocksuckers.
This show is brought to you by Headspace. The Headspace Take 10 program is a 100% free way to experience the benefits of meditation in your busy and modern life. So download the free Headspace app and begin their Take 10 program for 10 days of guided meditation at headspace.com/Joey. And the show is brought to you by hitesigs.com. Use code word Joey's Church to get 5 hit e-cigs for $50. And go to onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off all of their great optimization products.